Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
To think there's still a little magic left in the stage. I mean, I didn't do Dry January, but I might as well have, because wow, hello! This is our first time at Covent Garden Studios.
It is.
It is. We like the pink entry lighting. Did you enjoy that?
Ooh.
So like, am I going to see comedy? Is it going to be a strip club? I want a little bit of both, and we will give it to you. Yes, we will. Now.
Oh.
We
killed
Katie.
Katie.
She's dead. She got too sassy.
Yeah, she's dead now.
We did. Take her out.
I'm drinking for two tonight.
We didn't. I mean, we didn't do it. We hired somebody, obviously.
We hired a man to do it.
Who did a really shitty job because she's actually home with COVID. Fuck.
I know. She's the only one of us that admitted she had COVID tonight. So. No, real hero, actually. So,
I really... it's...
It's a bit of fun. It's still topical. Whenever I make COVID jokes, I'm like, ooh, 2020. But it's still around,
it's
isn't it?
It's still running. It's a long, old running joke. It's kind of amazing we've made it this long. Like, we've had the hypothetical conversation, and then it happened. We're like, I'm just so surprised. You know, and it's like kind of crazy. But like the great, I believe it was Winston Churchill, who said, the show must go on.
He was a sassy bitch.
He was a sassy yeah. bitch, just like our beloved Katie. So yeah, there's a big Katie-shaped hole, but we will... I mean, look, I interrupt too much anyway, so I'm just doing extra tonight. But I'm hosting this episode, so I will try to read.
And can I just say, up until this morning, Taylor was not hosting this episode. So thank you, Taylor! And any fact checkers in, this might not be accurate. We don't know. She had to do it quickly. So.
I stuck with one source. Let's do this. Guys, what is Drunk Women Solving Crime? It's where Carlene meets cannibalism.
Ooh.
It's where Grolsch meets gross negligence. And where Heineken meets high crimes and misdemeanors.
Ooh.
Not bad for a panic research case. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lie. Woo! There's some exciting things here. Are you ready? She's a BAFTA-nominated screenwriter. She's a comedian. She's an actor and author and self-described terrible singer. We'll be the judge of that. Please welcome to the stage, Nat Lertzema. Hello, hello.
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 Nat, it is so great to have you here. Thank you so much for being on Drunk Women's Health.
Very welcome. It's a pleasure. Long time listener. First time caller.
Okay. It's such a classic line.
Isn't it?
And I wonder, like, how do I teach my daughter that that's a thing? Like, there's so much backstory to that. I'm like, so there was something called radio. I don't know. I'll work on it. I should start early, though, just like sex ed and old.
Maybe if you start on The Simpsons right at the beginning. I think there's a lot in there. She can watch all that and then you'll enjoy her company more. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm getting the implication that her company's dragging a bit.
No.
More bits. Do more bits, kid.
I just know that I need to ask a question. You know what the question is, but I'm going to ask it anyway, Nat. Nat, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes. Yes, a really, awesome. Really silly one. So, in 2014, a man approached me and said he wanted to make a film out of a script of mine. He was going to raise £1 million. And I said yes. And I quit stand-up. You might remember that, Hannah. I was a bit like, by Fox. I'm off to make a movie.
Oh, my God.
Should have asked more questions of him. With hindsight, yes. But he didn't. So he went around with my script and he raised $250,000 and then he did a runner. And then I had to hire lawyers to get my own script back off him, for which he'd paid zero beans. Zero beans.
No, no.
But the script was his now, apparently. And I nearly went bankrupt, which... I was so poor at the time. That's like shaving a slug. It makes fucking little difference. But still. And then a year later, a different man approached me and said he wanted to make this film for £5 million. And I thought, sure, inflation. And but in my defense, he seemed more legit. He drove me around in a Bentley. He took me out for very expensive lunches. He took me out for lunch with Duncan from Blue.
What?
Yeah.
DFB?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Such a gentleman.
Have you ever seen the YouTube video of him shitting himself?
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's on the National Lottery.
No.
And he does a fart and he follows...
Oh, no.
But he says it like he said it. No, put your phones away. Don't Google it now. But he admitted to it in like a podcast. And then you go back and you watch the thing and you can see the minute where he's there. And it's like, it's a big money ball. It's the bonus ball. And you just hear him go... and he shit himself.
God.
Now, I'm sorry. Tell us about this awful story when you almost went bankrupt.
I don't know how I claw back from that detour.
You were riding around in a Bentley. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen.
So,
I'm sorry, I've got very mucky tonight. I'd like to apologise.
So I had lunch with Duncan from Blue, who was a very good fit for one of the roles in the film, but I didn't know I'd sharted on national television, so perhaps that would have coloured my perception of him as a romantic lead. Again,
but
hindsight.
I can see how you're like, I was so naive, and this is the real, this is what
this,
it looks
this is
like.
The, this is where I really feel betrayed.
Oh.
Because of timings, that year, that Valentine's, I got a little Valentine's Day text from Duncan from Bloom, 15-year-old me, just wet myself.
Oh, yes. I don't even know who that is. I'm like, yes.
No, that is
handsome.
BFD. Oh, a big
it wasn't like
deal.
A sexual romantic one. It was like, hey, pal, happy Valentine's Day. I mean, you know, yeah, right. I mean, there was no, you know. But still, I thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this guy drove us around in Bentley, took us out for lunch. He took us to his office on Regent Street, which was his massive office. And he walked around it and he waved at all his employees and they waved back.
Oh, no.
And then we didn't hear from him for a bit. And about 6 months later, we found out he had been arrested and sentenced to 6 years in a Spanish prison for credit card theft and identity fraud. And we found out he had hired a desk in that massive office in Regent Street and had just gone around waving at people. And Duncan from Blue, as I'll always call him, says, I guess it goes to show if you wave at anyone with enough confidence, they will wave back. Which...
Oh.
And so, I mean, and I have to say, in both these cases, I feel silly saying it now, but they were both American. And so they did seem weird, but I'm sorry, Taylor. I give Americans a very wide runway to be weird. So there were things that, with hindsight, yeah, I probably shouldn't have overlooked. So that was how I got conned twice in 2 years.
Oh, man.
Oh, with the, wow. Yeah, I love it. Woman of that. Woo, sister! Yes!
Yeah.
And
not just a mugging.
This is... That's a very good idea for a movie, actually. Somebody trying to get funding for a movie.
I swear to God, I wouldn't trust either of them to not come after me and sue me. They're that shameless. They would sue me for the rights to their own story of conning me.
Goodness.
Yeah, I don't trust them a mile, an inch. Yeah, a mile's a really long distance. I haven't had my dinner and now I'm drinking.
I'd maybe trust them a kilometre, I think.
I wouldn't give them more than 50% of my annual income now.
I was just telling them before we came on about the podcast I did where I was given just one large glass of red wine, but I'd had a colonic irrigation an hour before. which I really enjoyed. It was lovely. I liked everything about it. I liked the science. I liked the thing up my bum. But I will not be taking further questions at this time about that. But it meant that by the time I got to the podcast, I was completely empty, like a whizzed out balloon.
Oh.
And that wine hit me so hard that after the podcast host said, I can't edit that because you get so drunk so suddenly. It's like two different evenings.
Oh.
Do you mind if I don't pay you? And I was like, that seems fair. Sorry.
Have you had a clonic tonight?
No, full of poop. So, don't you worry, team.
You're in, I think, safe. We're going to have a good show. We're having a good show. What's that guy when he was walking through this like thing in this office thing?
Oh my God.
This office. You've worked occasionally. Come on, you know an office.
I've worked from home so long. I'm just like, what is desk?
What's that room? It's the kitchen. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Was he just going, hey, buddy, new champ? Hey,
Hannah, he was literally doing the fucking guns. He was doing the guns of people who did them back.
Americans cannot get enough of fucking guns.
Just, a guy in a suit does the guns at you and you're like, well, I'm no uptight loser. I'll do the guns back. And the girl behind you is like, guess he's got 5 mil.
Oh.
Sure. Nat, always give everybody a chance to... Let us know. What would you say to either of these guys, both of these guys? This is your moment. You can take them down however you'd like.
Oh, it's so tricky. I was so angry at them for so long. Yeah. And now I'm just like, guys, a normal job is not that difficult. It must be so stressful being a con man.
Yes.
Just get a job. Honestly. You've actually got quite a lot of good skills. You could be like a really good like estate agent or like property management person. Like you, there's lots of, like, there's so many jobs you can do where your sort of bullshittery would be rewarded instead of just constantly being on the lam.
I love it.
That's a really mum type thing to say, isn't it?
I was just thinking, like, you're like the guidance counselor for con artists. Like, okay, well, you tick to this one. So I'm actually thinking,
yeah, like
culinary arts.
It's okay having a job. Just have a job. It's nice. You have colleagues.
This was 2000.
I don't know. Or a kitchenette. It's all nice.
This was 2014?
This was 2014.
How long did it take you to let the anger go?
Ooh,
genuine question.
Genuinely, yeah. Yeah. Because I was so poor for
that
so
long.
That is,
I mean, that's big.
No, I tell you what, though. 2016, I sold a book for enough money that it pulled me out of a massive financial hole.
Okay.
And I felt really, really lucky for that. Although everyone was like, you must be rich. And I'm like, no, I'm back at zero. But...
But that's great.
But I'm really relieved.
Tell us the book. Come on.
Oh, it was a book for teenage girls, and it's called Girl Out of Water, and it's being turned into a TV show now.
Yay! Yeah.
So, took me 8 years, but I got my revenge.
Well, you truly did.
I love that. That is what this is about. Really, that question is... Revenge question. Also, I love the fact that you're like, get a job, there's a kitchenette.
I find them charming. They're like a kitchen, but small. How sweet.
Exactly. There's no oven, but there's a kettle.
But who uses an oven?
Wow. Yeah, who uses an oven at work? An idiot.
Sorry, I'm 40. I should use an oven, shouldn't I? The whole room's looking at me like, live a life. Be an adult. Use your oven. Like, no. toast.
It's fine.
Oh, Nat, wow.
So she's
That's
here.
A hell of a... I didn't see the second one coming, did you? Do you know what
no.
I mean?
Thanks, Yikes. Guys, because me neither. And several people did say, Nat, did you not learn from the guy before? And I was like, I've learned absolutely nothing, and I'll probably do it again. A third con man comes along, and I'm like, ooh, a Bentley.
And Anthony Costa, not quite as good, but... You need to know your blue for that to work, and if you do, it's a great go.
Even if that was just for me, I think it was worth it.
Thank
I
you.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
All rise.
Lovely.
Another blue one. Another blue one. Another blue one. Sorry. I love it. I love that we have like lots of listeners around the world that will just be like, Hannah's gone mental. That's fine.
Well, they are drinking a lot. Okay.
Immediately just said, like, blue did not do well internationally, is what I said there. But, Taylor, you've got a case.
I do have a case. Shall we do some true crime?
Woo!
All right. This was sent to us by the lovely Lauren, who I don't think Lauren's here tonight. Oh, but we love Lauren. She runs our No Context Drunk Women Twitter. She's a legend. She's also a legal expert. So I've had this sitting in our Gmail for a little while because I'm like, I don't know if I want to read about something legal. Like, it's a crime podcast.
The utter ingratitude
of legal. And then I read it and I was like, fuck, this is awesome. So Lauren, thank you so much for sending this in. This is the case of Regina or Regina. It's up to you.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Versus Dudley and Stevens, and it involves a shipwreck. So with no further information, what do you think the crime might involve?
For a start, can I just say, London, I love the fact you're like a shipwreck.
Ooh.
it's one of those fancy crimes. It doesn't matter who was killed on this ship, but we're all going to be like, this is awesome.
Ship came from somewhere else, and somewhere else is glamorous.
Yes. So the crime.
The crime.
Yeah.
Booty. Yeah, that would be booty.
Booty crime.
Booty crime.
Booty crime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there okay. was stuff, maybe treasure.
Yeah. Ooh. Can I sidebar slightly, and it's not about sharting. But I feel I need to caveat that. There's so many palm trees in Florida because a ship got wrecked there in the 19th century and it was full of coconuts and a man tried to sell them to loads of people, and when everyone had a coconut at that point, they're like, I'm just holding it, it's fine, I'm not getting much out of this. He then buried the rest, and that's why you got palm trees all over Florida.
Is that... Oh, that's mental!
I read it on the internet, so I presume it's fine.
She'll take no further questions,
no further questions at this time. Thank you very much for coming to this press conference.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But sorry to return. I do think it's booty.
Booty. I like that.
Mm. I think it might be. What's the thing that they call it when people on the ship go, oh, don't like the captain?
Mutiny.
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 Yeah. I don't... would have thought over 3 years I'd learned some shit. But I'm just like, what is it when the... Yes, thank you. Thank you. When the sailors get a bit sassy.
Oh, my God. What if they had named it, oh, I don't like the captain on the Bounty?
Oh, my God. Can you just imagine Hannah's film about a mutiny? It's just a load of people going, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't know what it is. I don't like him.
It's the way he wears a jumper and I don't like it.
Exactly. It's the way he's always in the kitchenette. I don't like it. I'm here because of the kitchenette.
Yeah. Can't get two people in.
Exactly. No, I don't like him. Is it a mutiny?
Booty. It's booty.
Bootiny.
A bootiny. It's a booty.
These are both great answers. I'm not going to say if you're correct at this time. We're going to go through the case and see what
happens. I feel very
patronised,
but I kind of like it. It's what I deserve, and I feel safe.
On the 19th of May, 1884, four men set out on a yacht called the Mignonette, which is French for small mignon.
Oh my God, is that what kitchenette means? We're laughing and we're learning. That's generally what it means, isn't it? Little kitchen.
Oh my God, you didn't realise that. Mike, you should not be allowed out by yourself.
The Mignonette was a leisure yacht and it was not designed for long voyages. So your next question is, they were setting off from Southampton, England. How far of a journey were these four men planning on sailing in this not fit for a long journey?
You know what four men are like when they get together. Mm. They leg each other on.
Do you know what? There was another boat that left Southampton.
Oh, back to this again.
It was in 1912. Yes! It was the Titanic.
Not even a twinkle in their eye yet.
But it's interesting, though. When you think of a shipwreck, you think, of course, of the Titanic. You don't think of, like, a luxury yacht. And isn't it amazing that immediately I was like, all sympathy gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like,
oh, they were rich. Yeah. Well, kind of fuck them.
Yeah. I kind of just thought, do you know what? What did they do? They probably deserved it.
They'd probably been to the Caribbean by the time they were 20. I'm 40 and I've never been, so kind of fuck them.
I love... I was asking for distance. What we got was victim blaming. And that's why we do this. I will tell you. I'll just tell you.
I think you should just tell us because I don't think we can do this.
They were doing a quick old jaunt from Southampton to Sydney, Australia.
Oh!
Just a little jaunt. So the crew included...
What, for leisure?
Yeah.
Would not be leisure, would it? Yeah. This will be fun, they thought. 20 minutes later, what a fuckabout. Ooh, tired.
Also in like 1881 or whatever it was, like, that's a long way to go, isn't it?
It's a long... I think distance is the same no matter what year you're in, but yeah.
Well, first kitchenette and now this. Holy shit.
The earth was 30% smaller. I'm going to name the members of the crew. I'm only going to use surnames so we don't get too attached to any of them.
Oh,
the
dear.
Dudley, the captain, who is a very...
Is there
a Dudley in the audience?
I was not expecting that.
We've got a Dudley.
We have a Dudley. Oh, my God. It must... well, look into your lineage.
I feel like he doesn't make it, so unless he sired someone before he left.
So Dudley's the captain, very experienced seaman. Pause for Hannah George. Stevens, who effectively was the first mate, and by that, I think he was just really good friends with Dudley. we've got Brooks, no title. And we've got Parker, the cabin boy, who was only 17 and had very little experience of boating. I know, parks, little Parks and Rec. Okay, so Southampton to Sydney. Question, how far do you think they got before they ran into trouble?
Portsmouth. On the wipe. I prefer on the wipe.
That would be great to just go, because it's like 10 feet.
Yeah.
Just capsized.
I regret everything. Down.
22
go.
Minutes on the red jet.
Crawling up on the Isle of Wight, like it's the same place.
But seriously, I mean, where would you have to, you'd have to go round, wouldn't you? That's how boats work, am I right?
Yeah, you've got to go. They won't be flying.
Go through it.
I mean, they're still in Europe, aren't they? They don't get out of Europe.
Oh, do you think? I'm thinking Africa.
Oh,
what do you think?
Africa.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey.
To be.
No, you're right. You're right. Not to be.
They didn't do too bad, to be honest. They got to the very southern tip of Africa, but they were far off of the Cape of Good Hope, ironically. It's all going to be fine, guys. So they made it really, really far. I looked on the map. I'm going to say halfway. We don't need facts tonight. It's just speculation from a very inaccurate map.
Your tone is like a child in an egg and spoon race who got the egg all over his face and then shit himself. And you're like, well, he got halfway. So I'm not confident about this at all.
No one has ever nailed Taylor like that. So, I mean, that is...
Whoa. That is so you.
I feel very small right now.
They got halfway. Halfway.
Yeah, well, let's say halfway. They set out 19th of May. They got as far as that July 5th, and this is when it all kicks off. So that's over a month to get to the tip of Africa, which is a shame because I genuinely put the same route into Google Maps just to see, and it's only a 175-hour drive, so they just... took the wrong form of transport, I guess. So on July 5th, there was a gale. There was a gale, or what British people like to call a fresh breeze. Fucking BBC weather. Can we just take a moment to talk about how you describe like 40, 50 mile per hour winds? Fresh breeze. You walk out, so your clothes get blown off. My lips are stuck to my teeth. You guys are too hardy. That's all.
No one's ever said that to me, ever. An incredibly flimsy human being. Like a dandelion clock. That's emotionally and physically, that's what I am. But sorry, enough of me. Four people
but
about
to
die.
But you would never complain. That's just it, though. You would never complain about the wind. That's the thing. You'd be
No, that's
it's
just
a fresh
what
breeze
the outdoors
and I deserve
like,
it. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great.
The outdoors is just shit. That's Britain.
I always remember there was like there was a very big wind. I can't remember which one it was. I think it had a name or something. But I always remember my
Hannah's wind.
My nana, who was like 4'8" or something. She was so teeny tiny. And I always remember a massive gust of wind. This was on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Well, I was probably about 12, but I was taller than her. And I always remember that this gust of wind came and her feet left the ground.
Oh my God.
I'm genuinely not even kidding. Oh my God, I've just literally, and I pushed her onto a lamppost and she grabbed it and then she survived. And that's just, like, I've not remembered that for years, but I know which lamppost and I will be taking a picture of it and putting it on Instagram next time I go home.
Have you ever been blown over by wind?
No, but I'm quite sturdy.
Well, I mean,
I feel like Hannah had a big crocheted friend that they called Nana. keeps blowing away. I saved Nana again. Okay, Hannah, we're going to put her in the wash. Then you'll get her back.
Oh, God.
So, I'm just still enjoying Hannah describing herself as sturdy, as if as if a hurricane couldn't blow her over because she's like 5'8". Guys, I'm basically the rock because I'm slightly taller than the average woman. Oh, yeah. So sorry, madam, I'll go around you.
Oh, God. Oh, that image of Nana with her legs. Oh,
God.
Sorry, go on. This is
go I will. Sorry, go on.
The yacht didn't seem to be struggling in the gale force winds, and Captain Dudley gave an order. What do you think the order was?
Keep going, lads. It's great.
Keep going, lads. Okay.
Smash out a martini.
Love it. Optimist. Yeah. I feel like he was a lad.
Yeah. Make a lad.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does get shipwrecked. So at some point, the captain did something
a bit stupid.
Well, right. The order was to heave to. Do you know what that means?
Absolutely
I had
not.
To find out what this means.
Is it like
learned a little
doing
bit.
A little sickie?
It's doing a little pukey.
Heave to, does that mean like change the...
It means to slow the vessel down. You're not stopping it. But
sorry, how was your sentence going to end, Hannah? You said, is that mean to pull the... And her eyes just look completely blank. And I was like, she has no end to that sentence. She has no fucking clue where that sentence is going.
I thought it was to pull the sail to the other side of the boat.
Oh, I stand corrected. She did have a thought in her head. Fine.
The reason that they do this is so they don't have to steer it and they can sleep.
Oh.
So he's like, there's gale force winds. We're doing great. Let's have a nap. That's what he decided to do.
Dudders. Your great, great, great grandfather.
Oh my God. You must shitting be so the bed ashamed. Here. So ashamed. So they sent little Parker down to make some dinner for them. You don't want to sleep on an empty stomach. And then something happened. What happened?
I think capsizing.
Okay.
They're in a gale and they're having a nap.
She's going right for the capsizing.
Yeah, I mean, they shipwreck. It's going to have to be quite soon.
Okay.
Maybe it's the...
Do you mean narratively?
Yeah, like, I mean,
just feel narratively it's time for a shipwreck.
Do you know what? Actually, yeah, this is kind of the...
I've definitely slowed down the narrative. It's me.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. Didn't want to say
poop
it, Taylor.
Farts, puke, anyway!
I agree. Capsize, this is it. It's going down.
Okay, well... A huge wave struck the boat and basically took off the... I didn't even write the part. Took off the top of the yacht, okay?
It's called the lid.
Top of the what? Took off the top of the yacht.
International school, you must know what a top of a yacht is.
A bullet...
Come on. Come
on. It's not the fucking mast. Bullet?
Cruise mast.
It sounds like Sandra Bullock, but it's a
bit old-timey.
A bulwark? A bulwark. A foxhole?
A foxhole, yes!
Foxhole.
It's not that.
It is. It's
stop
a foxhole
it.
Corsa. He knows.
Look, yeah. They were... They're fucked, okay? They're fucked! And Dudley knows that they're going to capsize. Like, this is a catastrophic emergency.
I'm imagining Dudley Dursley at this moment.
Oh,
I don't know if anyone else is.
Same.
Yeah, I'm big on pot. And I'm imagining going like, sort of like... capsizing last year. Sorry, this is, I'm going to start another podcast, which is just Hannah quoting Harry Potter. So sorry. Okay, capsize.
Well, Dudley knows that it's going to capsize, so he orders the lifeboat to be lowered into the water. It was just 13 feet long, which is the average size of a million-pound studio flat in London. For context, and it was very flimsy. They had cut corners on this. It was very thin. There's holes in it. It looks like
flimsy,
every pair of pants that I own. Yeah. How fast did the mignonette sink? So from the time that the wave hits it and Dudley says, we're going to go down, how long do you think it took to sink?
How big is this yacht?
I don't have the size of the yacht written down. Sorry.
Oh, I apologize hitting you on a weak point.
I did read it. I want to say like 40 feet. Sound about right? It's not gigantic.
Hannah, how long did the Titanic take to sink?
I want to say...
It was quite a few hours and they did not have enough lifeboats, let me tell you.
Breaking news from Hannah here. I'm going to say 20 mins.
Okay.
A cheeky American sitcom episode. I'm going to go British sitcom episode, which is slightly too long at 30 minutes.
Okay. It took 5 minutes.
Oh, that's efficient.
It was almost no time to salvage anything. What do you think they did manage to bring on board the lifeboat? Violins!
Violins! Oh, beautiful. A burgeoning love affair.
Oh, one of the twins.
One of the twins?
photo album. I'm just thinking of burning buildings, you know? Like, what would I
Given that it's like 1880-something, I imagine it was like a leather-clad, lead-lined, incredibly heavy, like, shoe-polishing kit. Like, weighed as much as two people. I was like, I must have their shoe-polishing kit. That's what I'm thinking.
We're not going to die undignified.
I won't be found with unshiny shoes.
Drunk women solving crime.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They got 2 tins of turnips.
Tins of turnips.
Not even fresh turnips.
Why are we like tinning those?
Amazing.
Ew. Have some
self-respect.
I'm
so hungry, though. I'm like, with a little salt? Sounds all right.
Could you imagine, though? You own a fucking 40, perhaps more, foot yacht. And you've got tins of turnips.
I mean...
It's 1884. That's probably like party time. Like, who wants some turnips? Yeah. Mm. Okay. And a little bit of navigational equipment. So the first night, they almost died. Why?
Because they didn't want to eat the fucking turnips. Disgusting.
The cold. Yeah.
Good guess.
Someone's had a little dog leg into sensible.
Okay.
She'll be leaving it rapidly, but she's briefly gone sensible.
No, I think
she was looking at the page. I'm joking.
It was the waves and that, because if it capsized a yacht, it would capsize a not fit for purpose lifeboat.
Well, it's weighed down with turnips, don't forget. Oh. So it's pretty heavy.
God, was it a bear?
You're closer.
Okay.
You're closer. You're right to think, like, it's low down, they've not got much protection. It was a shark.
Oh my God! I love a shark and a lifeboat story.
Shark. It was a shark.
It's like my favorite genre of film.
They've got
a lot of
black eyes, like a doll's eyes. It's a Jaws thing. We were thinking of having that that bit from Jaws as like a reading at our wedding, and that's why I know it. And then someone said, "Don't."
So we didn't. It's a bit.
And we're not. But
a bit weird.
Wow! It was.
I'm so excited for your wedding. Like genuinely, such a genuine statement.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's a shark.
A shark attacked them. They had to fight it off with oars. Yeah, so...
Well, better than turnips. Sure.
The boat sank on July 5th. How long did they wait to eat the first tin of turnips?
Well, it's not very appealing.
Yeah.
I could probably see that off a week.
Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking it's like the new school year has started. It's September. Like, they've...
Wow.
Their kids...
New pencil case. We start eating. Yeah. Oh, exciting.
2 days. They made it 2 days. There were 5 turnips in the tin, which they split between the 4 men. I'm just sprinkling a bit of fairy dust into the lead up of what's about to happen.
Oh, no.
They were catching rainwater to drink on July 9th. A bit of optimism, though. A food source appears. What do you think the food source was?
One of them.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh.
Or is it a fish? Maybe it's a fish. I don't know. It's good. It's just be a fish.
Okay.
I immediately, when I hear like cannibal stories, I'm immediately like, I would fucking eat that shit immediately. Like genuinely, like I would just be like, oh.
You would have no moral dilemma.
Nothing. I'm just like, just oh, like, what
story?
You need to watch Yellow Jackets. My
oh,
God.
Oh my God, I love Yellow Jackets so much.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good though.
It's do you crazy. Watch it and do you okay. shout, June? Wait, it might be a Watford thing, but June, because it's just such good music, such a good soundtrack. Slight sidebar, but it wasn't about sharting, so it's still better.
All right. It was a turtle. It was a turtle.
Aww. What did that guy ever do to you, you fucks?
Yeah.
Stupid yachty fucks.
All right, so that... Yachty fucks.
In your red trousers.
I want a t-shirt that says Yachty fucks. So that gets them to July 17th, but they're running into an even bigger problem now. They can't collect any rainwater, so they're just dying of thirst. So
are they drinking piss yet?
They're drinking piss. That was my next question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No. I love that you're like, I know.
I mean, I'd have been drinking
step.
Piss in Southampton.
I wouldn't do that, though. No.
Would you not?
I'd eat a man before I drank his piss.
What obliging man is offering this to you? You can have my piss or my meat. What do you want, Hannah? Big fan of your work.
So they were drinking their wee-wee?
Yeah.
Yep. Or each other's to mix it up a bit.
I don't know.
Oh, is that better? Is
I
it
think
better?
Different nutrients.
Oh, because something that you might not have put, like, sort of absorbed yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess maybe your body didn't appreciate it, but their body might.
No, we've got 3 glasses here. Who needs a piss? Because...
Have you ever drunk your own piss?
It is at this point.
Okay.
We'll never know.
We'll never know because Taylor's ploughing on.
No, I'm just...
She has a story to tell, and I'm talking about drinking piss.
They're thirsty. They start drinking seawater.
Oh.
They know they shouldn't.
Oh, guys.
But
I was about to say, watch TV,
thirsty.
But 1880, what's it?
They're drinking seawater. They're starving. They're starting to get really, really ill. And so they start to have a debate about something. What do you think the debate is about?
How quickly shall we eat the cabin boy? It's obviously him.
Like, whose piss was the best vintage? I'm getting it's piss. It's piss.
I'm getting turtle. Am I? No, it's not cheating. I'm just getting turtle.
Guys, I'm trying to have a civilized conversation about cannibalism, and I feel like you're bringing the mood down.
It's cannibalism.
Right? Oh, yes. Of course it is. What else are they going to do? What's the crime going to be? They start debating who should die to save the others. Who should be sacrificed for the greater good?
I would absolutely not volunteer myself for that.
Well, they talk about drawing straws, like you have straws on this lifeboat.
If you had
like
straws,
the one
you'd
thing
be in
we've
them.
Got, we don't want our lips to touch our glasses while we're starving.
I love that. Like, piss through a straw is actually a lot better.
So they start making arguments for who deserves to die to save the others. What do you think the arguments were like?
This will make a great play. Moral turpitude, adultery.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Mm. I'm a bit of a shit.
Okay.
I was about to say racism, but 1880, what's it? No.
Right. So it's basically who's the biggest dick.
Who's the biggest dick?
And got the biggest dick because a lot of meat on that.
Yeah. Is that meat? I think it's cartilage, isn't it? Sorry.
I love it. It's like, no, we won't say cartilage, actually.
That is not cartilage.
That's sweet. What is it? What is it? I'm sorry. It's been a very long lockdown. What is dick? What is it made of? Is it sugar and spice and all things nice? I don't think so.
Wait, but is it meat?
I don't think it's meat. Well, who's got a fat penis?
I know these women at the front are just going, what? I don't know.
Well, what is it? What is it made of?
Spongy tissue.
Can I just say, I was going to say spongy tissue. I'm like, don't
spongy
even
tissue.
Keep this going. Just
do you know
don't.
What? No, but Taylor, as
who
an American,
to eat spongy yeah. tissue?
As an American.
But no, that sounds like a corn dog.
Wait,
is that what that is?
Spongy tissue?
No. Are you a doctor?
Thank
Have you,
you
embarrassed
madam.
Yourself?
That's not medical. Yeah. Spongy
no,
tissue
she's a penis
is not medical.
Doctor.
Corn dogs.
I mean, we're all penis doctors. They never go to the doctor themselves. You have to tell them what's wrong with it. But
corn dogs are different. They start making arguments based on whose life is worth more, and that all surrounds who has a family.
Oh, fuck off.
So
yeah. I find that so annoying.
So yeah. Stevens and Dudley are like, we have wives, we have kids that we care about so much that we've fucked off for a year.
Yeah, right.
We
exactly.
matter. We're family guys.
If you're shitty parents, you might as well not be parents. Well, that was bold, wasn't it? But that woman said true, so I feel vindicated.
Slam. Did Brooks and Parker get on board with this suggestion and offer themselves up?
No, God, I'd hope not.
No,
I they were not
met
on
their
board.
Kids.
They were not
they,
on board.
They were not on board.
I've met your kids.
Yeah, your kids are dick.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would die for your daughter. I love your daughter. Yeah, I would. Like, aww. Fucking, she is just, I mean, also, she's obsessed with me. But she is like, it's what I look for in a person.
Sidebar, like, every Christmas card that she's made in school that I end up finding in her room or tucked in her thing, dear Hannah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I love you the most. And I'm like, okay. Also, okay. My mother's like, say hello to my favorite Hannah. I'm like, uh-huh.
Okay.
It's not her favorite Hannah, it's her favorite drunk women, is how she puts it.
She's building a cult. Don't let it happen. You have to nip this in the bud.
Oh, I don't know. I'm on board.
But
cult
this is
George.
A huge moral thing, right? Of
it
who
is.
Do yep. we eat? Yep. Or do yep. we eat a bit of someone?
Well, surely, why don't you take a leg off someone or like a big butt cheek?
Oh, well, I'm...
Here's what happens.
I'm very sturdy.
Parker.
You keep saying that you're not very sturdy. You're quite willowy. Stop it. Don't slap yourself.
Well, no, I'm just saying you could take a leg off. You could take this leg off and you'd be all right for a couple of weeks.
I don't know what I'd contribute from myself
because
I'm very selfish.
You'll just suture that right up with some turnips.
Just painfully selfish.
So Parker, the cabin boy, gets so sick that he goes into a coma.
Parks.
What happens?
They eat him while he's in a coma.
But how do they cook him?
That's a very classy person in the audience saying, how would you cook him? But what would you drizzle him with?
Yeah, you can't marinate that with turnip juice. You need, you know, the acid, the fat, and the sweetness.
Come to my house. I do not open the oven.
They kill him.
Oh.
With a knife while he's in the coma. Now, Captain Dudley and Stevens agreed that this was the best way. Brooks did not.
Better yet, him though.
But they all ate.
Yeah,
Parker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two of them ate a lot of him, and one ate hardly any. This sounds like one of my daughter's math problems. Now that I'm saying that, If Dudley ate one third of the person, but shared a quarter of that with his friend.
Also, honey, stop retching. We're trying to do maths. Come on.
Yeah. This is just.
Anybody is here having not listened to the podcast before, this is a weird night for you. I saw some.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I saw some women, and they were just talking about the maths of eating a man.
Well.
But guys, we've all made it through a pandemic. We can do anything. It's fine.
It's so true. Two of them ate a lot of him. One of them didn't eat much at all. Can you...
Just the dick.
Just that squishy cartilage.
Squishy, spongy tissue, please.
Spongy squishy tissue. Cartilage. Oh, God, no, but I know that would be me. I'd be like, oh, God, no, I couldn't eat anymore. I would.
I bet you Brooks was like, we cannot possibly kill and eat him. And then Brooks was one of the people who ate loads of him.
Oh my God, you're right.
Oh! You know, I know shitty people.
Being moralistic kind of makes you hungry.
It does, doesn't it though?
I was so surprised by that though, because he's like, guys, no.
This is really wrong.
Yeah, God.
Delicious.
It's so bleak.
Wrong.
It's so grim. It's so grim.
Literally, I get stuck in a lift and I'd want to eat someone. I want to eat someone.
So the
again, sorry to the people at the back. This isn't even a running joke. I'm just really want to eat someone.
The three remaining men managed to catch some rainwater to drink. Like, times are happy again, right?
Great times. Great
Mercifully,
times.
They are rescued by a German vessel headed for Hamburg, who dropped them off in Cornwall. Now, the men are required by something called the Merchant Shipping Acts to give formal statements about what happened. Are they candid about what happened?
No. They wipe Parker off their mouth and say he fell overboard, didn't they?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they did.
They have a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's not the first thing you'd say, is it? It's like, oh, no, we ate him, actually.
How was your trip?
Yeah. No. They're keeping that secret.
They are actually completely candid.
Oh, guys.
Well, the reason is because they think that they are innocent because of something called custom of the sea. Now, this is different from maritime law. I've written all this down thinking that in a second show, I'm like, shall we read some facts about maritime law?
I promise not to talk about Duncan from Blue at all while you do this. Okay.
Well, it's interesting because it's more of a maritime law is a proper established law at sea. Customs is more like, well, this is how we do it. Customs is more like I was ambushed with a cake, so accidental party.
Oh, it's bullshit. Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
sure. Guidelines.
Tell us your sea bullshit.
They believe it. They believe it so much that, like, of course we'll tell the story. It's harrowing. You know, they'll be like, of course you ate Parker. Of course you ate Parker. People who are into law, this part will piss you off because I'm basically just going to say a whole bunch of legal shit goes down.
Yes!
I will sum it up though. This case goes crazy. Their statements go to the Home Office. A warrant is put out for their arrest for murder on the high seas and they are shocked. It goes to trial. The trial is full of drama, including Parker's brother shows up and shakes the hand of all three of the men.
What, he was a dick, thanks for eating him?
I mean...
Okay.
At first I was like, whoa, that's badass. Or wait, what message does...
What is it? Oh, the inheritance is all mine now. Wait, sweet.
What?
Super sweet.
Weird thing to do.
Strange, right?
Yeah.
But there is something powerful in it. You know? Hi, you ate my brother.
Oh, you think he was psyching them out?
I think he was psyching them out. And he was also... reminding everybody that there was another human involved who I think at that time, you know, would have been disposable. He was an orphan. There's a little bit of background. Like, he was this kind of, well, we don't need to worry about them.
Parker.
Yeah, the cabin boy.
If you had parents and you said to your parents, hi, I'm going to be a cabin boy in a yacht and we're going to go from Southampton to Australia, any parent would be like, no, you're fucking not. Go to your bedroom. So, yeah, this was a child who didn't have parents who were like...
Yeah,
this
so
is stupid.
It really. Oh, go.
Well, just as they were shaking his hand, do you think they were going? I've said too many times I want to eat a person. We sometimes get some weird emails on this podcast, and we're going to get some more. But Taylor, go
Subject
on.
Subject header: spongy tissue. Oh, that's for you, man.
Dudley and Stevens take responsibility for the killing of Parker, and in a sense, Brooks is kind of exonerated from it because he says, I didn't agree to it.
He ate loads.
Even though he ate like he was at a goddamn country buffet.
Yeah, he did the fucking wishbone. Like,
oh my gosh. This was like when you go out for a friend's birthday and some fuck orders lobster and then you split the bill equally and you're like, sorry, no, Natasha, you had lobster. I had pasta. It's like that, but a little bit worse, I admit.
So the judge gives a really strange, like, custom verdict, and he says, yeah, they're guilty, but can you imagine me in law school?
Great judging, yeah.
So and
yeah.
So. But the logic was, you all would have died within days.
Yeah.
So you needed to do this to survive. This is the defense's argument. Queen Victoria gets fucking involved.
I'm amazed it wasn't Elizabeth II. She's been around so long.
She loves dick.
She's like, is it spongy tissue?
If it's spongy, I can't resist.
How would one pierce that then?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's like a threepenny piece in a Christmas pudding. The Prince Albert of a...
Do you know what I'm thinking? It must be so awful to be, like, cast adrift at sea because the sea air does make you hungry. You know, whenever you go to the seaside, you want a big fish and chips.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so it's just that all the time, isn't it?
And I kind of, like...
You've really captured the horror of this.
Thank you. I'm really hungry. Emotionally invested. You know, me and Prosecco have emotionally invested.
You know when you want a big chippy tea?
Exactly the same
but,
feeling.
Yeah, it's all the same as being a month at sea.
Now I'm thirsty. So Queen Victoria gets involved and gives a pardon of mercy, but people at this point are just up in arms. They're like, this is not justice, this was murder. In the end, the two men, Brooks is let off the hook.
Oh, Brooks.
Hungry bastard. Dudley and Stephen spend some time in prison. How long do you think their sentence was?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Because ooh. I sort of get it. You know, I know I'm being flippant about the fact I want to eat a person, but also, like...
Going camping with her.
Don't go off-grid with Hannah. I've always said that.
No, it's good advice.
But it's good.
I do think, like, at what... Like, I see why they did it. I don't think they should have done, but... So I think I'd give them a suspended sentence. Maybe some community service in a kitchen.
Ugh. I also think the fact he was in a coma is like, if you kill someone in a coma, they're very sleepy. It's not quite like... I mean, you're not going at a very alive and alert person with a knife. They're like, they're having a big sleep.
So what do you think that deserves, Nat? How long?
I'd say 6 months.
Oh my God, it's 6 months.
Oh my God!
What? I'd like to thank God and the Academy.
Wow. What a way to end that. That's amazing.
Your morals match up with like 1887.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. No, I don't feel good about that.
So it's a landmark case because it established that necessity is not a valid defense for murder, which is the only reason why Piers Morgan is still alive. It had a huge cultural impact. It inspired a Monty Python sketch.
Which one?
It's called like The Boat. It's called The Lifeboat. I guess it wasn't one of their bigger ones.
There was a film, The Lifeboat, wasn't there?
Probably.
Well, in the book Life of Pi, the tiger was called Richard Parker.
Oh, he was a tiger.
Never knew that.
Never knew that. I mean, who in this room made that connection?
Did anyone know this? That it was really
no,
to this case?
It's a very deep cut, isn't it? Yeah.
Fair. I mean, we very were all fair. Doubting it, but this episode was worth it. Just for that, I'm joking.
How many people knew that Duncan from Blue had sharted? I'm just
how
saying.
How many people wish they didn't know that? Because he's still beautifully handsome. And a real gentleman, actually, as a person.
I just want to end on this note, which is I took all of these facts from Wikipedia, so thank you.
I'm sure they're all completely
accurate. Thank you. We've got some wikis in. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but every page has Wikipedia keywords. So the first keywords are murder, sure.
Sure.
Okay. And killing and eating flesh of human being under pressure of hunger.
Oh! Did you get onto my laptop somehow?
You write the keywords for Wikipedia on the side.
So like now, genuine question. If we like all crash landed in a little plane somewhere in a forest, Yellow Jacket style.
Yeah.
And one of us got a little bit ill, but not very ill.
Yeah.
Not very ill, yeah. Like flu.
Cystitis, maybe?
Yeah, cystitis is awful.
I would be the first to go down.
Honestly, if I have cystitis, kill me. Absolutely kill me. Okay. It's the worst thing in the fucking world. Do you think it's all right to kill and eat?
Oh,
we
my God.
Know how Hannah feels.
You're actually going to ask the moral question.
Yeah, I'm going to... Let's have a little moral maze. I've gone all very Radio 4.
Immediately.
Yeah, okay. Just, I mean, Hannah is eating at the airport, so...
That juicy flesh.
Okay. I guess, I mean, this has just made me grateful for, like, service stations and stuff. So just here's to... You know,
service stations.
Service stations.
We're all very, very lucky.
Some real moral dodging there.
I understand.
Cannibals.
I don't want to think of how I am when I'm really hungry, because when I'm regular hungry, I'm such a cunt. Do you know what I mean? So like proper, and that's just like I haven't eaten since brunch. You know, so I don't want a picture. I hope I never meet that version of myself.
Again, not going camping with either of them now.
No, don't, no. don't. Oh my God, yeah, I could bite a butt or something. There's something about the butt though, right? Like you totally go for the butt.
I mean, I think you go butt. What was that
butt.
From the audience?
I go butt.
Juicy. Yeah, juicy. You're absolutely right.
There is a name for eating.
Now, I understand we have an what?
Sorry, go on.
Rimming.
I don't even want to know.
She's talking about rimming. She's reached a rimming point of the evening.
Could we please, let's bring things back to sort of a, like, not such lowbrow level. We have a dildo crime in the audience.
You called it.
Understand.
No, you called it a dildo.
She's right up. What? Right up. There she is.
Oh, what?
A dildo.
Look at her looking slightly coy, as if
a
she
dildo.
Doesn't want to tell us.
Straight up.
Oh, I'm straight up. I'm so sorry. I've got to work this out. You thought I said dildo?
I thought you said dildo.
Like dildos to go. Oh, what a great business idea. All right.
Hello.
Sorry, because otherwise you use them in the store. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Hello. So I've kind of written this down because I'm trying to, you know, repress some of my trauma, but let's really relive it. Essentially, while my family and I were in the house, we were on like the bottom floor, we weren't upstairs. A burglar entered my room by the side window and he went through my things. And my dad was like, hey, there's a weird noise. He'll go up and investigate. And obviously my dad realized my side windows were open, but also the burglar was super inconsiderate and went through my sex toy drawer. And, oh, it gets worse. I'm from quite a culturally conservative family. And like, I think he just saw this like massive purple phallus on the side of my, on my windowsill. And like, he just looked at me and I just looked at him and I was just like, you don't know what that is. I don't know. But yeah, my question is, why did the burglar go through my sex drawer and not put my dildo back, knowing he was in a conservative household? 2, who did it? And 3, why? So...
Oh, this is so precise.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly, I had to sterilize. The police were like, oh, don't touch anything. I'm sorry. My father saw like a purple penis. He had to just kind of... So I was just like, I'm just going to contaminate the crime scene a little bit.
I'm going to sterilize that. I'm going to sterilize my whole body and my
whole
mind.
My dildo. And I was like, you know what? He's gone through my lingerie as well. We're going to shove this in the wash.
God.
Did he take anything? I think he was trying to go through like jewelry and stuff.
Yeah.
He was a bit stupid though, because like there was some money around and he didn't take that. And I was like, idiot, but whatever. But like, it was a purple.
That's so weird to not take money, because it's like anything you steal, you're going to turn into money.
Yeah.
Take
I thought
the
you were going to say, it's so weird to not take that dildo.
I know.
I like to shop secondhand, but I do think secondhand dildos is where I draw the line.
God, what a moment.
Call
like, to add trauma to trauma. That is crazy.
Awful.
Oh my God. Were you like, I can't believe he dropped that. Whoa. Must be a weapon of some kind.
I think obviously my family were like, oh no, they probably took something valuable. And I'm just like,
protect the dildo.
And like, I think, obviously, I'm the youngest, so he probably thought I was like a pure human being. And they're like, oh, this is the bebe. No, this is not the bebe.
No. Oh, we found a title.
The bebe gets off.
This is a title for the episode. I am not the bebe. I love it.
Yeah, so that happened.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
I've never really got on board with the purple dildo. I find it a bit teenaged. Tell me, you're thinking...
I was like, I'm going to go on Love Honey, and I just got it.
I love how young you are. Like, I couldn't even buy my first one online. Like, yeah. I was just like, oh, I love it.
She found a merchant stand alleyway.
I had to go into a shop and alleyway. I had to look a man in the eyes.
Oh, my God, yeah. Are you joking? You had to slam and that shit on the counter and be like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Well, my first dildo was carved from wood. From an executioner's pole. I write children's books, and a friend of mine asked me to send her child one of my children's books, and I put it in a box I had lying around, and she said, thank you for sending in a Love Honey box.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, we had a lockdown, and I had a lot of them. Get over yourself, pal.
Oh my God, I love that you can get nostalgic about like a dildo.
So after the purple one, did you feel you moved on to more sophisticated colours? And I'm not to harp on this, but I don't really like purple as a thing to put inside myself. But
this is Nat's equivalent of, I'll ask the questions here, man.
Do you know what, though? I'm not going to lie. Like, it does the job, so I'm just quite happy with
it. Yeah, it's true. You can't see it, can you?
I'm trying to be, like, minimalistic, so... Yeah. You know, I've got, like... couple of vibrators, you know, change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Venus.
That's a hard sell, like the minimalist dildo. Like, ooh, okay.
It does the job.
It does the job.
Very true.
Literally had forgotten someone had tried to steal it.
Dear.
Like, that's why we're here. Right. So
the guy was a bad thief. We can,
We did get CCTV. Oh. And like, He didn't dress well, let's just say
it doesn't,
that.
Didn't dress well.
If you don't dress well for a burglary, get out of my house.
It's true though, like, come on.
I hate a badly dressed burglar.
Apparently a lot of burglars, because just with the adrenaline, shit themselves.
Who did it? Why'd they do it? Like, if you're going to rob a culturally conservative
bad
asshole.
Thief doing bad thieving. But, and what was the other question?
Yeah, why? Like, if you're gonna, if you're like, oh no, that's a sex toy, shove it back in the drawer then. Jeez, it's incredibly rude. Bad etiquette.
Okay,
put it away. No, I think that's
burglars are known for their etiquette and putting like, I don't need it, so it's like, going back where I found
it. No, I'm with you though. Like, this is a very middle-aged problem, but wherever my vibrator is in my bedroom, my cleaner, I'm sorry, I am middle-aged, manages to find it, polish it. Don't do that and put it right in the middle of my desk. And I'm like, oh. Annetta,
I have
put that in a drawer for a reason. And each time it's in the middle of my desk. And I've reached a point now, 7-8 weeks in, I'm like, are you flirting with me?
How does one polish silicone?
Oh, it's metal.
Oh.
I enjoy metal.
Oh, I've never met a metalhead.
Where'd you get that one from?
Love Honey.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you see them, I'm like, who are the metalheads out there? Are you a metalhead? Wow.
It's me.
You know what? I gotta fucking stop this show. Grab yourself some
food. Hey, thank you so much.
And thank you. Hi. I just want to say hi to my mom who listens. Very, very faithfully to the podcast. I guess...
I mean, your mum loves me most, so...
Well...
Hello, my friend.
Hi, Taylor's mum. Maybe I could be your new favourite, because I'm big on a mum-in-law.
Oh, mate. Oh, I've just lost your mum to Nat. I'm fucking...
Well, I just... You guys, I don't know, man.
Could I ask you a favour before we hear
We need
from
to get
Nat?
The house lights up. Is there any way we can get the house lights up?
Katie is so devastated that she's not here.
It's really sad.
She's really, really, yeah. So I would love to say, we love you, Katie. Get better soon on a video.
Would you do Can that for do us? That? Aww. She'll be devastated to have missed all the dildo chat, so.
I already texted her to say, your podcast is mine, bitch. So she knows I love her.
Action. Katie!
Katie!
We miss you. It's a mess. It's a mess without you. Everyone loves you.
Feel better.
We love you.
We love you.
I want to eat so much.
Where are your facts, Katie? Where are your facts?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to say...
We have just enough time to ask Nat, where can we find you? What are you up to? What's happening in your world?
Oh, lads.
Besides metal.
So I was a stand-up for 10 years, and then I quit it for 8 years, and then I had COVID, and I was like, not terribly badly, but I was like, I'm going to go back to that. So basically, I'm gigging around London. If you fancy seeing that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's quite dirty and trivial and stupid, but it's me. So so just if you see my face somewhere, then come see me. That'd be lovely.
Oh, it's so good. Like, literally, we started on the stand-up scene with Katie, like, literally 12, 13 years ago.
Fucking so long. We're so old.
We're so old.
The vet should put us down.
We're so old. We had to buy our sex toys in person. So... yes, yeah, brilliant. Follow Nat, she's amazing. If you have young daughters or sons who want to read YA novels, your novels are amazing. You're incredible.
I love when people have written kids stuff. We have an episode like this.
I know. If you've listened to Nat being fucking disgusting, maybe you'd like to give your kid her book.
Do your kids
want to
like
do that.
Metal?
If you'd like to hear more.
Nat, you're a legend. Thank you so much. We've had Nat loads of fun. Thank you, guys. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. The bar is staying open, so feel free to hang around, have a drink, do what you like. We love you guys. Thank you for coming out.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.